C. Corcoran Podcast.
One of the questions that the people who are in our business are always asked is about on-air bloopers. And I'm sure that all of you have your own horror stories that maybe you can look back on and laugh sometime later where you got tongue-tied or you said something where a double entendre wasn't intended, but that meaning was definitely taken. I've been involved in a few. I was on the air 3 or 4 years ago doing the Saturday Game of the Week with Tony Kubek in Toronto. And at that time, Tommy John was bouncing from team to team. And he'd just been released by the Angels, and Oakland had signed him. And Oakland's playing the Blue Jays, and there's Tommy John sitting in the dugout for the first time in an Oakland uniform, but they hadn't technically activated him yet because they were going to send him to the minor leagues just to get some work in, to get his arm in shape. So we're in the middle of the game, and the camera settles upon Tommy John, and I try to think of an appropriate caption to write beneath the picture there, and I say, well, there's Tommy John. He'll be in the Oakland rotation soon, but he needs a little work first, so he'll be pissing in Appleton on Monday. It didn't sound quite right as it came out of my mouth, and I looked at Kubek, who was a great help. He just kind of stared at me and fell silent. And so then I'm looking for the appropriate next sentence, and I said, well, Tony, come to think of it, he'll probably do both if he stays there long enough. So, and then the next week, I'm walking down the hall at NBC, and here comes Letterman, who's a big baseball fan, and he says, hey, you got a tape of the sixth inning from Saturday? I'd like it for my archives. So, but the single greatest one I've ever heard, thankfully I wasn't involved in, but I was witness to. And it happened in the summer of 1977, and this would only be tellable if it were true. And it is true 100% verbatim. 1977, midweek afternoon game, Busch Stadium in St. Louis, the Cardinals against the Cubs. At that time, the Cardinals had a three-man broadcasting team. Jack Buck, Mike Shannon, who's still there, former Cardinal player, now announcer, and a guy named Bob Starr, who went on to do the Angels games and now is in Boston doing the Red Sox. And this particular day, on a Wednesday afternoon, in front of a relatively sparse crowd, happens to be National Dairy Day at the ballpark. It's, you know, one of your big promotional days, and people flock from surrounding states to be there for the festivities. And, you know, they put up on the board, welcome members of the National Dairy Council. And then the guy from the National Dairy Council shows up in the booth to schmooze with the announcers. Now, in St. Louis, there's a two-tiered broadcast booth at Busch Stadium. The announcers are down on the lower level, overlooking the field. But then there's a short flight of stairs, 3 or 4 steps up to a second level where visitors can sit. So in walks this guy from the National Dairy Council, and he sits down as Buck is announcing the game. And Buck says, well, up steps Hector Cruz. He's hitting 265, curveball in the dirt for ball one. So, Mr. Jones, have you enjoyed your visit to St. Louis? Oh, yeah, Jack, you know. Up in Wisconsin, ever since the Braves left for Atlanta, we don't see much National League ball. We love the Brewers, but great to see the senior circuit. Fastball up and in, 2-0 to Hector Cruz. And the guy has brought with him a woman who is billed as Miss Cheesecake. Now, Miss Cheesecake is dressed in a one-piece white bathing suit with white high heels, like she's in a beauty pageant. And the streamer going across says, instead of Miss Wisconsin or something, Miss Cheesecake. And she brings with her 3 individual boxes of cheesecake, like 2 sliced cheesecakes. And she presents one to each of the announcers. So she sashays down the steps to great attention all over the press box. While they're announcing the game, Cruz flies to left, one down, and she places one in front of Buck, leans over with great ceremony, places another in front of Shannon, who is flabbergasted by this point, and a third in front of Starr. Guy from the National Dairy Council gets up and leaves. Ken Reitz comes to the plate, fouls one back to the screen, 0-1. Ken hitting at 275, single to right, his first time up. Buck leans across Shannon and says, hey, Bob, what do you think of Miss Cheesecake? And Star, who wasn't paying much attention, thinks he said, "What do you think of this cheesecake?" And he says, "I'll tell you, Jack, I'd like to eat that right now." Well, I myself, who was standing in the back of the booth, would not have believed this had I not heard it. And Star still doesn't believe it, because he's looking around totally confused as to why everybody has dropped microphones, why they're rolling around on the upper level, why guys are slapping five, why Miss Cheesecake is even more pleased with herself than usual. Yeah, you know, it's just a totally extraordinary set of circumstances.
Swing and another foul back into the seats. Well, Swan can't get the third one by him, and Brock can't straighten it out. Do you like cheesecake, Bob Starr?
Oh, I do, and every time I start on one of my diets, it turns out to be National Retail Baker's Week, and they bring us up.
Do you like Miss Cheesecake?
Yes, very much so. I have not had any yet, but it looks good enough to eat. Oh, look at this. Look at this.
Here's the 2-2 delivery and a changeup base hit to center by Brock.
Here comes Templeton around to score. The Cardinals lead 1-0. And Brock has a base hit.
Batting first, number 37.
Hernandez comes up.
Pete Hernandez.
Brock on in first base. He now has 42 hits for the year.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu.
It is Tuesday, September 28th here at JCOnTheLine.com. How are you doing, kids? I don't know how you slept last night, but I woke up about every 45 minutes. I found out yesterday I'm going to have another back operation. That is not your problem. That is mine. But I will tell you this. The way they're doing stuff now is just absolutely remarkable. I had my first back operation. And this was these were cervical problems. These were neck issues. And some of you may remember this because I whined about it constantly. But it was 1990, and I was stuck in, as our old former co-host on the show back in the days of the river, Matushka Lindo, former reporter for Channel 5, she said, "You are stuck in the I'm a little teapot position." I had one arm stuck over my head. I couldn't put my arm down. If I did, then the blown disc would hit the nerve and my arm would shoot right back up. Well, you can't stand like that because all the blood would come rushing out of your arm and your hand and you would just turn purple. So I had to be laying down the entire time. So there was very little discussion about whether or not it was wise to get the back operation. And in fact, the surgeon told me after he went in there to clean it up and, you know, they had to do a fusion and everything. He said, "You made the right decision because that thing was blown to bits and there was no way that thing was going to go back in its cage, if you will. So you made the right decision." And I had to wear one. It was major surgery. I got like a 4-inch scar in my neck. It was major surgery, and I had to wear one of those big, hard plastic Jerry's Kids neck braces for 4 months. And then I wear a soft cast after that around my neck. That was no fun. That was no fun at all. And then 5 years, almost to the day from the first surgery, so it's 1995 now, and the disc right above it ended up blowing, and I had to go in there, and that time they went in through my back. First time they go in through your neck. But it is a very medieval type of thing. Well, now, as is the case with almost, I had the gallbladder out a couple of years ago, and they just was like zip, zip, zip. They punch 4 holes in your chest, and they do the whole thing arthroscopically, and you're back. It was so bizarre. I got to the hospital at 3:30 in the morning. They diagnosed it at 5 in the morning. The surgery was scheduled for 1 that afternoon, and I went home that night at 7:45. So that's how they're doing a lot of this stuff right now. So this will be only a 3/4 inch scar, incision. They'll go in there and fix it up, and then I should be, back to doing cartwheels very, very soon. So that's going to be coming up. And as I said, I'll probably have to take a couple of days off during that whole thing. Not because, as I just described, I won't be inconvenienced, but I'm a big baby. I'll just use it as an excuse to take some time off. So there you go. Speaking of time off, you got the premiere episode of Saturday Night Live coming up here. Is it this weekend? Yes, it's this weekend. Owen Wilson and Casey Musgraves. I don't like that music, but that's a handsome female. But anyhow, got Saturday Night Live making its season debut this weekend. And at the end of last year, it looked like they were going to be losing a whole bunch of people. It looked like Kate McKinnon, Cecily Strong, Beck Bennett, and trying to remember who. Oh, and Pete Davidson were all going. Well, it turns out they're all coming back with the exception of Beck Bennett, which they're going to lose a lot. Beck Bennett was sort of like a Phil Hartman type guy. He gave you a lot of innings. He could do a lot of stuff. And as time went on, first couple of years, I was like, who is this guy? And, as time went on, he really grew into that part and was in a lot of stuff. He was in a lot of stuff. Well, he's going away. And by the way, I have no idea what he's going to be doing, but he's going away. And so now Bowen Yang, who I've already told you is going to be a major superstar, just a major superstar. First two or three times I saw him, I was like, all right, you got a winner this time. So Bowen Yang will now be a featured player, as will Chloe Fineman. She's one that does a lot of impressions. They have picked up a couple of new people, including somebody named Sarah Sherman, who also goes by the name Sarah Squirm and has some very bizarre videos on YouTube. Then there's another guy, James Austin Johnson, who I'm told does one of the best Donald Trump impressions you've ever seen. Then there's somebody named Aristotle Athari, who you might remember from a stint on Silicon Valley. And they go at it again this weekend. And, they probably have enough material based on everything that's happened since last spring to fill up about a 7-hour show. So we'll see what they're able to crank out. We'll see what these new people are able to put together. Sucks to be R. Kelly. I think the first charges against him, the first we started hearing about this stuff, was about 13 years ago. So this guy has been able to live, fairly freely for most of the last 13 years. The last two have not been particularly good, but it closed in on him yesterday. Decades in prison, and he still has to face charges in Chicago and Minnesota. So this whole thing was just in New York. Your typical average criminal seems to me that had a meager childhood, probably came from poverty, or if not poverty, certainly guy was not living at the Ritz, let's put it that way. So the fall from life out on the street into prison life is not that far. The fall from being a major recording superstar, now that fall into prison for probably the rest of his life. I remember thinking about that with Bill Cosby. That is a long, long fall. And I don't know how many people remember this, but this probably was, I want to say it was the Rams championship year. So the 99 season, Georgia Frontier was still around in those days. And she was, in her 80s. And so she was the one picking the people who were going to sing the Star Spangled Banner before the football games. That's why we ended up with Bobby Vinton. Blue Velvet. It's like, how about Perry Como? Can Perry Como say? It's like, Georgia, Perry Como's been dead for like 30 years. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I'll have to send his wife a note. No, she's dead too, Georgia. And I remember being at a Rams game. It might have been one of the playoff games. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Capitol recording artist R. Kelly. And they're like, R. Kelly? I've been making this point for a long time. We have these wonderful people who are from St. Louis And by the way, other cities do this too. You know, if they get a big, big game, national spotlight on your city, you bring out one of the singers who's from your city. You know, World Series is in Detroit. Here to sing the Star Spangled Banner, here's Bob Seger. You got to California, you got all these, you know, singers out there. But in St. Louis, we don't do that often enough. They put Ozzie Smith's son out there. I mean, that was cool. But how come, I've never understood why Aaron Bodie just does not seem to get any props whatsoever from the city of St. Louis. I don't get it. She's wonderful. She would go ahead and sing the Star Spangled Banner, and everybody would know her name the next day. You know, why isn't Sheryl Crow out there? So, as is usually the case in St. Louis, so many of our wounds are self-inflicted. You got to take advantage of opportunities like that, and I don't know. The people who call the shots on this stuff just don't seem to want to do it. John Hinckley is going to get out. He doesn't even have to stay away from Jodie Foster. That's not, if you're Jodie Foster, you're probably thinking to yourself, oh, great. He's 66 now. In show business, Lovebirds news, Angelina Jolie and The Weeknd spotted hanging out again together. It looks like there's something going on there. My question is, you're just knocking around the house on a Saturday afternoon. What do you call The Weeknd? How do you address him? Phone rings. Angelina answers it and says, hello? Hi, it's The. Oh, hi, The. You don't call him Weak. Baby, don't call me Weak. Is there really this much appetite for exploring the world of Britney Spears? I mean, even CNN did an hour special over the weekend, and now a Netflix one pops up, I think it's today, yeah, another Britney Spears documentary about the conservatorship, not to be confused with Hulu's controlling Britney Spears. So there's three right there. Britney Spears did a highly sexualized act, like, what, 20 years ago? And then went off the deep end and shaving her head and got her baby sitting on her lap without a seatbelt driving down the highway. And just seemed not to have any idea how to take care of herself. And the old man is bugging her bedroom. I mean, all right. All these documentaries, you'd feel like a peeping Tom at the end of the whole thing. In fact, I could take a shower after watching one of these things. This is the anniversary of the Beatles cartoon series. Beatles, obviously, February of 1964. So the Beatles pop up in the Ed Sullivan Show. And this, by the way, would have been the birthday of Ed Sullivan, but I'll get to that later. But anyway, the Beatles, 1964, February, Ed Sullivan Show. A year later, they came along with the Beatles cartoon series, which was absolutely awful on so many different levels. It was such a money grab. The animation was laughably inept and amateur. The guy they got to do the voice of John Lennon sounded like he was about 50 years old. He didn't, you know, it didn't match one bit. And the other thing they did is, for whatever reason, it was just I guess it was easy. They made Ringo look like he was retarded. All he ever said on the show was, yeah. And I remember Paul McCartney, it might have been on Phil Donahue. Paul McCartney was saying, I guess they know how it is. Music industry, people are, you know, doing all sorts of stuff. You're signing your name to stuff you don't even know what it is half the time. Your money is disappearing. People are figuring out a way to use your image. In every contract I have ever had, I have right of final approval before they can do anything. Yes, I very much appreciate the fact that a company I'm working for decides that they want to put up a billboard of me or something like that, or do a television commercial. I'm extremely appreciative of it. However, as is so often the case, sometimes these people think they're doing something good and they can actually hurt you accidentally, because a bad billboard or a bad TV commercial can end up doing more harm than good. I remember the U-Man was upset. Back in 1985, we had some billboards over the Poplar Street Bridge. I was on one side, John was on the other side, and they made him look like Jason Alexander. And I remember John didn't like the picture, and I think that he had every right to not like it, because it was a terrible caricature of him. Mine was fine, but again, like I said, nobody could ever use anything with my picture, my image, or anything like that without my final approval. But when you got managers and you're a worldwide act like the Beatles, there's stuff going on all over the place. It's like trying to capture confetti. It can't be done. Some people, you know, wax nostalgic about that Beatles era. And in fact, the Beatles cartoon series, it was a piece of crap. But all that was this week in 1965. Netflix doesn't usually share the data on its most popular shows and movies, but the CEO did that yesterday at a media conference. Most popular series by number of hours, Bridgerton, Money Heist, Stranger Things. Most popular movies by number of hours, Bird Box, Extraction, and The Irishman. Most popular series by number of accounts, Bridgerton, Lupin, and The Witcher. Most popular movies by number of accounts, Extraction, Bird Box, Spencer Confidential. These are getting, hundreds of millions. This is Bridgerton series number one, 625 million hours, I guess they're saying. Whatever it is, it's a lot. Tonight, you have the series premiere of La Brea on NBC, 8 o'clock. A massive sinkhole opens up in L.A., which transports hundreds of people into a primeval world. Disaster TV. What do you make of this Will Smith, Jada Pinkett thing? You know, I don't know. Do Bill and Hillary have some sort of open marriage? I mean, is that what it is? Is he just cheating on her? Does she know and it's okay? Maybe she's cheating on him too. Maybe they don't consider it cheating. I guess if you're in an open relationship, what you're doing when you're sleeping with somebody else is not cheating. It's just part of the deal. Well, we've been hearing these rumors for a long time about Will Smith and Jada Pinkett having something that evolves past monogamy, I guess you would say. Here's the quote. We have given each other trust and freedom. Marriage for us can't be a prison. End quote. Why'd you get married then? But I don't know. A lot of people believe in this stuff. Plus, you got the Scientology factor. So who knows? Ronda Rousey and her, I don't know if it's her husband or her boyfriend. His name is Travis Brown. They had a baby. Yeah, imagine having sex with Ronda Rousey. That might be, shall we say, demanding because she is a fighter. I wonder if that necessarily means that that's every part of her life, that everything she does is sort of rough and tumble. Or you get Ronda Rousey in bed and she's like this really tender little sweet thing. Anyhow, the reason I'm doing this story is because here's the name of the baby. It's a boy, and his first name is Lakea, LA'AKEA, all right? That's the first name. The middle name I'm going to have to spell for you because for reasons that will be obvious. Here is the kid's middle name, MAKALAPUAOKALANIPO. Brown. Travis, her husband or boyfriend, whoever it is Hawaiian. That's still no excuse. Late night tonight, Jimmy Fallon's got Jake Gyllenhaal and Demi Lovato. Gabrielle Union on with Jimmy Kimmel. I love that name, Gabrielle. Drew Carey pops up with Stephen Colbert. Mayim Bialik on with James Corden. And Ray Liotta on with Seth Meyers. Birthdays today. I can't explain it. She's only about 5 feet tall and a little tank. Hilary Duff, but I love her. She's 34. Naomi Watts, 53. Mira Sorvino, 54. Moon Unit Zappa, 54. Janine Garofalo, 57. Jeffrey Jones. This was Dean Rooney in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. He was also Winona Ryder's dad in Beetlejuice. He's a registered sex offender. He's 75 today. Bridget Bardot, 87. And like I said, Ed Sullivan, born on this date in 1901. He died in 74. You know, MeTV is coming to St. Louis very soon. And I have it at our Florida home, and they show old reruns of the Ed Sullivan Show. And it really is fascinating to watch because, you know, here's Gary Puckett in the Union Gap and then jugglers and then somebody singing a Broadway show and then the comedy stylings of London Lee, the poor little rich kid, and then Topo Gigio, but, you know, also the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and people like that. I've told this story before. I'll just tell it briefly again. When we had St. Louis night at The Late Show with David Letterman back in, what year was that? 98 or 99. I got to go back and look. But it took three plane loads of people from St. Louis to New York, They put them in the New York Hilton right around the corner from the Ed Sullivan Theater. And I was shooting TV for Channel 4 for this whole thing and doing stories back to St. Louis about all these hundreds of people who got a free ticket to New York to see David Letterman. And so they allowed me into the Ed Sullivan Theater while the crowd was still outside in line. They were getting ready to open up the theater, and we set up the camera because we wanted to get the shot of the big flow of people coming in and filling up the seats. So I was, my cameraman was set up, and I was just sort of off to the side. I didn't want to create a distraction. You know, you want to get an honest-to-God true image of what's happening, and so you can't really be part of it, so you get off to the side. But before they came in, I was standing in the first row so that the stage at that point is like waist-high to me, okay? So in other words, if you got out of your seat in the first row and walked up to the edge of the stage, it would be about waist-high on you, and you're looking up at the stage. And I just remember putting my hand on the stage. It was very, very quiet. The only other person in the place was Biff Henderson. And I put my hand on the stage, and I just sort of felt the vibe as I thought to myself about those Ed Sullivan years and all of the amazing things that happened on that stage. The first time we saw George Carlin. You know, all those years of people like, you know, Petula Clark, you know, singing Downtown, you know, comedian Robert Klein. And of course, as I said, you know, the Stones and the Beatles on that stage. And I just sort of like tried to absorb that moment. And I'm glad I did it because that moment has stayed with me all these years. And that was 20 years ago. And Ed Sullivan was an easy target. You know, he never looked comfortable on stage. And he said really sort of silly, awkward things from time to time. But boy, oh boy, you know, again, the story of the Beatles is fascinating because Ed was in London for some reason, and he was sitting in an airplane on the tarmac getting ready to take off. And he looked out the window, and there's like thousands of screaming teenagers for some reason. And the Beatles were at the airport for whatever reason. And Ed said, "What is the big deal out there? What's going on?" He says, "Oh, yeah, there's this band, the Beatles." He's like, "Well, I don't know who they are, but book them on the show, because any rock and roll band that can cause this much of a stir has got to have something going." So he booked them on the show, basically sight unseen. And the rest, as they say, is history. Today is National Neighbor Day. And I've had pretty good luck with neighbors over the years, but you remember the instances where you did not have good neighbors, and it will make you want to move. You move out of your own goddamn house because you cannot stand your neighbors. And do you trust your neighbors? So somebody did a poll, about 6,000 Americans, and only half of us trust the people we live next to. 51% said they trust their neighbors. 17% said absolutely not. 22% not sure, and 10% said they either don't have neighbors nearby or they don't know them. The older you get, the more likely you are to trust your neighbors. Only 35% of people under 25 said yes, compared to 62% of people 55 and up. And where you live matters too. People in the South are the least likely to trust your neighbors. Wow, so much for that Southern hospitality, huh? People out West are more likely to trust them. And like I said, there is nothing. You cannot put a price on the idea of having good neighbors. I live next door to the fire chief of my municipality. There's a nice warm feeling about that. Goodwill's annual Halloween survey just came out. These next few weeks are always their busiest time of year because so many people shop for costumes. Now, here's some stats. 74% of Americans plan to do something for Halloween this year. 41% will hand out candy. 34% will dress up. 34% will decorate their home. 24% plan to go to at least one Halloween party, and that includes in-person and virtual events. Costumes related to movies, TV, and pop culture are big again. People doing DIY costumes were asked where they go online to look for ideas. Top answer, no surprise here, Pinterest. And YouTube is a close second. Facebook, Instagram, TikTok ranked lower. 73% of Americans say the pandemic will affect their plans again this year in one way or another. Only 32% expected to affect their plans a lot, though. And the CDC director just said this week that trick-or-treating outdoors should be pretty safe, especially in small groups. Crowded parties, though, still considered iffy. On this date, 1984, Night number one at the Old Barn, Sammy Hagar, 1984. 1985, on this date, I took delivery of my bed from the waterbed store. For the rest of your life, it's the waterbed store. I had that waterbed for a long time. And, you know, they were making them so that they were almost like real mattresses. And they were highly baffled, not like the original ones with just a bag of water. These were, you know, you get into this bed and it was already warm. Oh, I loved my waterbed. And needless to say, the biggest story in St. Louis today, it's got to be your St. Louis Cardinals going after 17 wins in a row. The victims tonight, the Milwaukee Brewers, working the bump, one Mr. Adam Wainwright. I've said it before, I'll say it again. We live in exciting times. All right, that's it. The J.C. Corcoran Podcast for the 28th of September 2021 is in the can. You can download this, listen whenever you want. Of course, you're already doing it. I'm sort of saying this for the benefit of people that you are telling about the podcast because you're like, oh, yeah, yeah, you can download it whenever. The shows are archived right there. Just I really do appreciate the fact that you guys are spreading the word. If you miss one, don't worry. It's archived, absolutely free. We publish at about 7 o'clock Monday through Friday. Email me at jc@jconline.com. Follow me on Facebook, sort of. I'll explain that later. The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Have a great day. Go Cards! And in the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.